Now, one of the ways that we worship God here at DFBC is through the reading and the preaching of Scripture. And this form of worship has a very prominent place in our services because we believe that this text is the words of God to us. Now, I mentioned this last week, but I'll mention it again because it's something that's really important for us to understand. We talk about the Bible having two authors, a big A author, who is God, who inspired the text, and a small A author, who is the Holy Spirit-directed human being who wrote the text. And so what we end up with in the Bible is a book containing all the words and exactly the words that God wants us to have, and it's mediated to us through human authors using human words, each with their own style and their own vocabulary. And so we have a book that tells us about God, that tells us about ourselves, about how we got here and why we are here, about what went wrong and how it's all going to be fixed. And it's good news. And it's a book that's full of all different kinds of literature, stories, poetry, prophecy, gospel, apocalypse, and all part of this much bigger story of creation to fall to redemption to future fulfillment. All of it pointing us towards Jesus, our true rescuer king. And it's a book that also contains letters, written correspondence between people. You know what I'm talking about? Email from back before computers were invented. And today we are going to look at a letter written by the Apostle Paul. In fact, he's the one who wrote most of the letters that we find in our Bible. And many of these letters were written to churches that he started in various cities. But not the one we're going to look at today. In fact, as far as we can tell, he never personally visited the city or the church that this letter was written to. But he did have a connection to it, and it is one that he clearly cared very much about. And so this morning, we're going to start a new sermon series from the letter, the book of Colossians. And I'm going to kick it off by reading you the entire letter. And I'm going to do that for a couple of reasons. First, because we rarely read Scripture this way. You know, usually we read just a few verses, maybe even a chapter or two if we're reading on our own. But rarely do we ever read the whole thing at once. And this is kind of actually unfortunate because many parts of the Bible were never actually intended to be experienced in small fragmented pieces the way that we often approach it. But the second reason that I want to read the whole thing to you this morning is because this is probably the best way to help you experience the letter like those that it was originally written to. You know, it's very unlikely that those who first received this letter would have had the opportunity to read it themselves. Instead, they would have gathered together on a Sunday morning and somebody would have read it to them in its entirety. A Sunday morning where they gathered for worship just like we have. Now, for this to work best this morning, I'm going to ask you to help me. Help me with your imagination. I want to ask you to pretend that you are part of this church here in Colossae. And so let me give you a little bit of background to help you with your imagination. You are all Christians living in the city of Colossae. It's possible that one or two of you might be Jewish, but probably not. More likely, all of you, or at least most of you, are Gentiles. You're a member of any of the many non-Jewish people groups living in this ethnically diverse city. Your city is in the Roman province of Asia. It's located at the crossroads of several important highways. In fact, historically, it's been the center of an important, thriving textile industry. You are especially known for a high-quality dark red wool known as Colossian wool. Your city, however, is not what it used to be. For a couple of centuries, it's been in decline as the nearby cities of Laodicea and Hierapolis have overshadowed it in size and importance. But your city still receives a fair share of travelers and merchants. And in addition to bringing their wealth and their trade, they've also brought their diverse religious and philosophical viewpoints to your city. And so yours is a community as diverse religiously and philosophically as it is ethnically. Now this morning, as you gather for worship with some of the other Christians in your city, likely you're meeting in someone's home, you hear that you have an important visitor in your midst. His name is Tychicus. And from what you are hearing, Tychicus has been working and traveling with Paul. You know, the Pharisee turned missionary and church planter. Now, you've never met Paul, but you've heard of him. And even though Paul has never visited your city, it is actually because of him that you heard the gospel and that your church exists today. So your church was started by a man named Epaphras. He's the one who brought the gospel to your city. He's actually the one who shared it with you. But it was Paul who shared the gospel with him when they were both living in the city of Ephesus. And so this means that your church community in Colossae it's kind of a daughter church of that church in Ephesus that Paul started. But back to this morning's visitor, Tychicus, this associate of Paul. When you arrive at church, you learn that he has a couple of letters with him. But more than just these letters, he's also got somebody with him that you recognize. You recognize him, but you're also surprised to see him. It's Onesimus. See, he's the runaway slave who belongs to another member of your church, Philemon. I mean, let me tell you, that whole situation was a mess. And you're really wondering how it's ever going to get resolved. But maybe that'll be an issue for another day. Well, everyone has finally arrived and has gotten settled. And the lead elder in your church, he stands up and he welcomes the gathering and prays over everyone. And then he tells all of you that one of the letters that Tychicus is carrying today is written to your church. So this is an exciting day. You wonder about what you're about to hear. I mean, maybe it's even going to contain some news about Epaphras, who's been gone for quite a long time. Here is what he reads to you. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day that you heard of it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day that we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you up with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. And I become its servant by the commission that God gave me to present you the word of God in all its fullness, the mystery that is kept hidden from ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one that we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those of you at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you with fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent in body, I am present with you in spirit, and I delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised in Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive through Christ, or with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are but a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility about the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They've lost connection with the head from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with a sincere heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful, thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, you know, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, he also sends his greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea in Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, you know, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and to the church at her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry that you've received from the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. These are the words of Paul to the Colossians, and these are the words of God to us. I'm going to pray. Worship team is going to come up, and then we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Holy Father, we thank you for the scriptures that you've given us that reveal you to us and that reveal to us your great unstoppable plan to rescue us. King Jesus, we praise and worship you as the means of that rescue that we know is accomplished for your glory and for our great good. Holy Spirit, fill us with your power and your presence. And use these words to shape us into the kind of men and women of God that you are calling us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The text that I just read to you in reading to you the letter to the Colossians contains some of the highest Christology in all of the Bible. It teaches us about who Christ is and what he has done. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. He is the one through whom all things were created. He is the one who holds all things together. He is the head of the church. He is the one who has supremacy over all things. He is the one in whom the fullness of God dwells. He is the one through whom God is reconciling all things to himself, things on earth as well as things in heaven. And this here in front of you is his table. And you are invited to participate in it. On this table is bread, representing his body, which was broken on the cross for you. On this table is also a cup, its contents representing his blood, which was spilled for the forgiveness of your sins. This is Jesus' table, set for him and for you and for us, so that we can share this meal together as well as with him. In a moment, Dan and I will come and distribute the elements. As we've done it before, these last couple of months, you're going to get two cups stacked together. On the bottom is the cracker, on the top is the juice. You can separate them, but just hold on to them and we'll take those elements together. You don't need to be a covenant member of our church to share this meal with Jesus and with us. But we do ask that you be somebody who's already pledged their love and loyalty to Jesus. And so if you've done that, if you are a follower of Jesus, please participate with us. If not, just let it go by. And parents, as always, we leave it to you to decide when your children are old enough to understand and to participate. As Dan and I distribute these elements, take this few minutes while Sarah's playing for us, just to reflect on the goodness and the love of God that is displayed to us through Christ, through his life, through his death, and through his return to life. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all of creation. This is his body, which he allowed to be broken for you. Take and eat. God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile all things on earth and in heaven, by making peace through his blood which was shed on the cross. This is his blood. Take and drink. I invite you to stand with me for the benediction. Once the benediction is over, you are dismissed. I would remind you that in 7 or 8 minutes, we'll start our quarterly business meeting. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So continue in your faith, established and firm. And do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Amen. You are dismissed.